Hi everyone, and welcome to the Say As It Is with Pete podcast series. I'm Pete, your host, and each week I will bring you some frank and honest conversations covering various topics from learning and development, friendships, funding, HR, strengths, recruitment, ESG, well-being, ED&I, employability, and much, much more. So let's get this week's episode underway and say as it is.
Hey, welcome to this week's episode of Say As It Is with Pete, and I'm your host, Peter. First of all, I do apologise for any snivels or slight coughing or a bit of a groggy throat, but I do have a bit of a cold, a mixture of cold and hay fever, so not the best, and I've been suffering the last couple of days. So I was debating whether I get someone to step in for me, my trusty friend Will, or do I just do this myself? So I thought, sod it, I'll do it myself. So just bear with me, okay? So, guys, thank you ever so much for tuning in for another week's episode of the Say As It Is with Pete podcast, the frank and honest conversations around various topics. So, in this week's episode, I'm going to be looking at, and as you probably saw from the post, this episode is called I Quit. That's it. I'm done. I've had enough. I quit. I'm out of here. No more. Don't worry. I'm not quitting anything. I think I've done some episodes around career development advice and guidance, which is fantastic, and it's helped quite a lot of people, which is great to know. But in this week's episode, I want to talk about how to quit your job. A little bit controversial, I know, but there's a right way and there's the wrong way. And in all good intentions of the way we want to leave our jobs, I think it's best that we need to leave them in the right way. And I say this because I've seen it so many times. I'm a HR professional, as well as an L&D practitioner, everything else. And I've seen in my career, you know, and companies I work for, how people resign. Some people resign in the most bizarrest way. Some people just up and leave and don't come back. Some people just put their keys in the drawer and then send a text message saying, I ain't coming back. And you're kind of like, okay. And I think the key thing about when you resign or you quit from your job, you do it in the most professional way ever. Now, I've seen out there on social media. Now you've got to think about this. And social media has developed and grown over the last, you know, 10, 20, 30 years. Especially with the iPhones coming in since about 2000, and they've just, you know, you can take videos and pictures, and you have the new millennials and the new alpha generation coming through, and everything is technology, technology, technology. Everything is social media, and you have influencers and everything else. I have seen where some people have resigned, especially in America, where I think one guy resigned from a coffee shop and he took a brass band and a quartet with him and they sang his resignation. And people have done it in Walmart where they've announced their resignation and how they feel about the company over the tannoy. Not the best. Some quirky ways to resign, but some dumbass ways to resign. And you should never resign it just to show face that you want to be that one person out there on social media that has resigned and that's going to be rememberable for resigning. But you need to in a professional way. And yes, social media does play a big part in things, as people tend to record and video their resignations, or if they're on a Teams call or something, they'll have the phone set towards them, recording them as they quit their job, and hear the reaction of their managers or the company, HR, as they resign. And then they turn and just say, you know, always do, sad as it is, and they post it on social media saying, look how brave I was, I resigned from my company, look at the shock reaction I got from my resignation, ha ha ha, they can't cope without me. I'm calling bull. Yeah, stop using social media to publicly announce your resignations. Stop it. Because you've got to think about this, when you resign from an organization, the way you resign affects how you're seen and whether you come back to that organisation or not, because you never know when you might come back. And it's true, you never know when you might come back. Or you never know when they might be struggling for staff and they reach out to you and say, listen, I know you worked for us before, would you be interested in coming back? Yeah, so don't burn your bridges. And also, some employers tend to see things on social media. And if you do this great big hoo-ha on social media about how you resigned and, you know, how negative your employer was and everything else, I'm not saying that you can't say that, but if this big, you know, social media stunt, you know, of your resignation, 10 to 1 is going to come around and bite you in the ass. It will. An employer will see that and say, well, if you did that with your employer, what are you going to do with us? I really don't want to take the risk. Because if you're doing that on social media, what else are you doing on social media about your employer? And then it becomes a big hoo-ha. And then it will bite you in the ass. Yeah? So be very, very careful on how you use social media to resign. And in my opinion, top tip, best practice, don't use social media to resign. Ever. Okay? So that's my bit of advice on social media, first of all. Don't use it. No matter how amazing you think social media is to resign in the most fun, not fun and freaky, but fun, interesting and bizarre way to capture the world's attention, there is no point. As I say, it will come back and bite you in the ass harder than it bloody than a rock one. It will bite you in the ass. So don't do it. Now, let me just go back to some 101s as well. So when we used to apply for jobs, now, you're in your current job and you're probably thinking, I've had enough, I've reached my 2-3 year lifespan within my role, I can't go anywhere, there's no career development, no progression, I just want to try something else, I'm done. Yeah? Then you start looking for work. Now, a lot of people tend to hide what they're doing from their employers. Obviously, they don't want their employers to know that they're looking, and they want it to be a massive surprise when they resign, because hopefully, who knows what will happen? Maybe the employer will offer a massive pay rise or different benefits and opportunities, and you stay. Who knows? But anyway, in a whimsical world, you never know. It does happen from time to time, but not always. But a lot of people are currently looking for work. Whether you want to admit that you're looking for work or not, people are. People do it openly, some people hide it away and they keep it quiet until they get an offer and then they resign. And then it's like, wow, I didn't know you were looking. Yeah, I am. And I have been. I've not been happy for a while. So here's my notice. I'm going. Goodbye. But obviously not like that. But people will look indirectly. People will look incognito, and some people will be open about what they're looking for, and there'll be those discussions around the office, you know, the office gossip and office chit chat, like, oh, you know, have you heard Pete's looking for another job, he's not happy, oh really, why, I don't know, you know, can't believe he's thinking of going. Well, look, people do it, so no shit Sherlock, it happens, we've all got to be aware of it. And as employers, if you don't know that's happening between your staff, hello, wake up. Because employees do get tired, and they do get burnt out, and they do get to the point in their career where they probably think that actually I've exhausted all career avenues within this organization, there's nowhere else I can go, I'm not going to get a pay rise, they've frozen pay increases, there's nowhere for me to go, I can't do anything else, I'm done, I'm out. Or you're putting too much pressure and you're not bringing on extra staff to support, you've pushed them to their limit, they're at breaking point, something happens, that's it, they're done, they're not going to engage with you, they've made that decision, they're going to go. So as employers, you need to make sure you have a really supportive working environment, and you have those regular chats with your employees, make sure they're happy. You obviously, you can't keep every employee, but a happy, well-being culture and an open door, I say open door policy, but open discussions around jobs and opportunities and things should be there. And where possible, you know, recruit internally before externally. So for example, I'm looking for some trainers to join my team, so I'm going to advertise internally first to see what I get, and if nothing, then I'll go externally. A little bit of cost cutting there, a little bit of saving, but who knows, internal succession planning, right? But as I say, we tend to hide nowadays that we're looking for work, and some millennials and some, not millennials, but some Gen Z and everything else tend to make it too obvious they're looking for work. So when we used to look for work, surprisingly enough, I don't know if you remember it, there used to be job adverts in newspapers. Yes, actual physical newspapers, people. And for those that remember, I remember we used to get every Thursday through the door in my parents' the Informer, which is a local newspaper, and was a local newspaper for most areas. It's one of the biggest distributors in London, I think. And, you know, it used to be, or the Middlesex Chronicle used to be another one that I remember. And in there used to be a whole big job section where employers would advertise their jobs. And you were either told to call or post your CV or even email your CV to a certain email address, and they would then get back to you. Or you could call someone about the job, have a chat with them, and arrange for an interview. Or it would say, please post your CV. Yes, post your CV. Print your CV, stick it in an envelope, write an address on it, stick a stamp on it with a covering letter, obviously, inside, and post it to the employer. Obviously, that doesn't happen anymore because, you know, newspapers have all kind of moved online. Job boards within newspapers are very rare nowadays. I know there's still some there, but they're very rare. Nobody really posts their CV in the Royal Mail delivery system anymore because we've moved on. So then there is DWP. So Department of Work and Pensions or the Job Centre, where you used to be able to go. There used to be big display boards with different jobs on, and there used to be a phone in DWP, and you used to be able to pick up the phone, call the employer, and book an interview. Perfect, right? That doesn't really exist anymore because it's all moved online and you have to apply for a job. Then there used to be, if you remember them, the walk-in career shops, which was a shop front for a recruitment agency like Reed and other, you know, temp and full-time agencies, where you used to walk in. There used to be like going in and booking a holiday, but it was just recruitment advisors. You go in, you'd see a recruitment advisor, or you'd see the jobs posted in the window, go in, have a chat with them, register with them, look for temp work, full-time work, then arrange interviews for you, give you advice, or tell you, no, we think you're overqualified, you're not suitable for that job, maybe you go see Tracy and Tracy's got something else for you. But I don't know why I'm doing impressions this week. But anyway, you sort of walk into a shopfront recruitment store, as I would call it, and be able to sit with recruiters in the high street and find work, because local employers will go to them, advertise their jobs, and off you go. But then that's died down. So you used to have like Reed. I remember Reed used to be on the high street quite a lot. Now Reed is just an office somewhere, very rarely, above shops now, where they have offices and they just call employers and then call candidates because everything's moved online. There's no more shopfront recruitment agencies. There may be some small agencies for different roles, whether it be construction, engineering, hospitality, maybe in some side alley, side road, where they're recruiting for positions and you could still walk in and get a job. But those kind of agency or recruitment agencies have died out and everything's gone online. So it's very rare that you see a shopfront recruitment organisation anymore. So they've disappeared. And everything with technology has moved online. So you've now got online jobs boards. So you've got, so Reed, you know, have moved online. You've got Indeed. You've got like Blue Arrow. I remember Blue Arrow used to be one. So most of the recruitment agencies have moved online. They're posting their jobs. You can, you know, upload your CVs. And everything is done online. So that's a big thing as well. And a lot for professionally, which I use, and I know everybody else uses, is LinkedIn. It's a great way to connect and build your networks, but it's also, there is LinkedIn jobs. So this is where you can see all employers are posting for vacancies they're looking to fill within their organization. So happy days. So most of it is now done on LinkedIn, and everything now is done online. It's not, you know, print your CV, send it by post, send it via email. It's actually upload your CV, fill out an online application, and hope for the best. Yeah, so that's why keeping your LinkedIn profile up to date and current is always important. Make sure your CV is up to date and important, but also make sure your career history and everything else is there. And make sure you have all the skill sets and everything else. It gets so complicated nowadays. It's just unreal. Finding a job is not easy. People think it's easy, but it's not, because we as employers make it far too friggin' difficult for people. And these algorithms and everything else make it too much of a challenge. And we'll do another episode on that, I promise, to help both employer and employee, or potential employee, or, you know, job seeker find the job and beat those algorithms. But anyway, it's all moved online. So LinkedIn is a great thing. And LinkedIn, there's two ways to look for a job. You can either go directly to jobs and then look for the jobs available for what you're looking for. But there's also ways you can update your profile. So you can set your profile frame to show that you're open to work. Now, this comes in two ways, so be very careful. One way you can do it is that you can show the badge that you're open to new opportunities to recruiters only. So recruiters can see you're looking, and only recruiters can see you're looking. Nobody else can, so you're kind of the incognito part. But also there's the public view, so you can openly announce that you're looking for work publicly, and it goes on your network. So whoever's in your network, whether that be your current employer, your line manager, whoever, they're gonna see it. Yeah. Be warned. Okay. If you publicly post on your social media network that you are open to new opportunities, be prepared for the questioning of your life, because everybody's going to see it. You're going to have colleagues that follow you that see it. You're going to have your boss that's going to see it. You're going to have anybody within the organization that's going to see it. Even HR might see it. Now listen, there is nothing wrong with you doing that. You're openly showing that you're looking for new opportunities and you are just seeing what's out there. You may be doing it to see actually what your worth is, and sometimes that's worth doing, to actually just put the feeler out there, see if anybody's sniffing, if anyone's interested, if you've still got what it takes. Yeah, so there's nothing wrong with exploring and looking. Obviously there is a problem when you take the opportunity, because then you have to resign, right? But if you're just exploring and looking, there's nothing wrong with that. And an employer cannot ask you to take down that post or change your setting to show that you are not actively looking for work and that you are happy in your role. They can't do that. It's your profile, your prerogative, your decision. It just tells the employer that you may need to sit down with that employee and have a conversation about why they're looking. Yeah, have that open and honest, frank conversation of, okay, so I can see you've openly put that you're looking for work, but why are you looking for work? What seems to be the problem? And take it from there. Yeah, and have that exploratory conversation with them. And you may find that it may be money related, it may be just career opportunities, they feel that they've exceeded everything they can give you as an organization, they're looking for a new challenge and a new career. It might be that they've, you know, you've got something that might actually interest them, what they're looking for. They might say, well, actually, I want to work in HR, I don't want to work in, you know, operations anymore. So they go, well, actually, why don't you spend 2 or 3 days supporting HR a week then, and let's make that adjustment and everything else. And then you never know, they might still do that, but you've still got to be on the mindset that if you are able to work something out with that individual and able to keep them and support them in doing some other bits within the organization, you've got to think how, you know, A, you've got to make sure you fully support that and go on what you say as an employer, but just be mindful that that employee may still be looking and still may leave. So you've got to do everything in your power to try and keep them, but you got no say over, and you can't control that everybody stays, yeah, unless you microchip them and tie them to the desks and never let them out again, but that's technically prison, right? So you don't want to be doing that. But if an employee is actively looking on LinkedIn and you see they're actively looking, just have a conversation with them. Have a frank and honest conversation from either HR perspective, or even better, if you're the line manager and you see it, talk to them. Get to know what's wrong and see what you can do within your remit to support that, and speak to the powers that be to see if you can do anything different. Okay, you might be able to salvage it, you might not, but again, it's everybody's individual prerogative and right to look for work and see what is out there. So don't be forceful and don't tell them to take down their post, just have that conversation. So great, that's my bit of advice on that one. Now when you are looking for work, you know, you're looking for work, whether you're open, you know, people are asking you questions about it, people have headhunted you, approached you, whatever it may be, and you go for the interview, you have a successful interview, and then you're offered the job. At what point do you resign? Do you resign at the point of being called and said, hi there Pete, just to let you know, you've got the job, can you start? Yeah, what's your notice period again? 1 month. So I could start around about this day. Okay, perfect, we'll send all the paperwork to you. Welcome to the team. All you need to do is just sign your contract and send it back to us. Okay. Now at that point, I'm going to ask you the question, answer it in your advance. Would you then have put your notice in? Yes or no? No. I wouldn't put my notice in just yet. So if you go for a job interview and you are given, and you have that conversation, it goes really well, you get a call saying yes, or an email saying, yep, congratulations, we want to welcome you to the company, you've got the job, your planned start date will be this day. Perfect. What you want to then do is make sure you get the, before you sit and write your resignation and before you sit and resign from your organization that you currently work for, make sure you do the following. Make sure that you get your contract and terms and conditions from your new employer or your new prospective employer. Make sure you have all those documents before you start writing your resignation, okay? And I'll tell you why in a minute. But you've got to make sure that you look at everything. Take your time to make sure you've read everything. don't put your notice in until you've got your contract and until you've read all your terms and conditions. Now, the reason why I say that is because I've known it with some employers before, where employers are very, very cheeky. You may have gone for an interview and they've offered you $40,000 a year, perfect salary, $40,000 a year to do your job. But when you get your contract, it says that it's $30,000. And you think, hang on a minute, that's $30,000, I'm actually supposed to be on $40,000. And you then give them a call and say, hi there, just have a chat with you. I've got my contract, I'm just looking, and it says that my salary is $30,000, but actually I thought it was $40,000. And then they say to you, oh, actually, the hiring manager has actually decided now that we think the salary is a little bit too ambiguous. So what we're going to do is we're going to put you on $30,000, and then after your probation, we'll review it to see if you're worth the $40,000. No, that's not part of the job advert that was put in there. There's no conditions set in the job advert. There was no conditions set within the interview. We agreed the salary at the interview. Now you're changing the salary. Well, that's what the hiring manager's decided. Well, on that basis, no thank you. I'm not accepting. It's either 40 or nothing. So, no. Thank you for wasting my time, but no thank you. So, check it, because the hours might be different. They may have offered you 40 hours, but they've only offered you 30 hours. You know, there may be set terms that you're expecting to see that you don't see because they've not put them in there. So you've got to make sure that if you spoke about bonuses and packages and other things in your interview, and that's what you've agreed, make sure they're all there. Because what some people do is they get so excited and the enthusiasm's there and they're like, yay, I've got the job, I'm going to resign. They resign and they get their contract and they look at their contract and go, oh, hang on a minute, this is not what we agreed. And then you start challenging it. So I would say, as soon as you get the job offer, just say, perfect, no worries. Once I receive all of the contracts and conditions, I'll take a look and then I'll accept it. And then I'll accept it via return signatures of the documentation. Perfect. Done. Get all the documentation. Make sure you read your contract fully and your terms and conditions. Make sure, obviously, you're not going to read the employee handbook, obviously, because this employee handbooks are massive. But make sure you read all of the contract and you fully understand it. And if you have any questions, then call back HR or email the person back HR with your questions and queries before you sign the document, but also before you put your notice in. Because if, as I say, if the salary expectation is not the same and they've moved the goalposts, but you've already resigned, it may be harder to attract your notice. Yeah? So don't resign until you have seen your complete offer. Because a lot of people jump too soon and then realise, actually, I didn't read the terms and conditions properly. But you signed it, but I didn't read it. Why didn't you read it? So just make sure you read everything thoroughly. And that's a good thing to do. And that's my best top tip. Never resign until you've got your contract or your offer of employment in front of you and that you've got everything confirmed. Yeah? Because, as I say, the goalposts could have changed, the salary may have changed, the terms may be wrong, you know, everything else. So always make sure you review it beforehand. And this is a warning now to the new employer who has recruited this individual and has screwed up the contract. Don't move the goalposts. If you're advertising a vacancy for $40,000 with all these wonderful benefits and packages, do it. Don't bait somebody into an organisation with a really good salary and go, well, actually, we're changing it now. We're actually going to give you 30. You need to prove to us you're worth the 40. And then we'll do it after probation. And then probation comes in, well, actually, we're going to extend your probation slightly. But also, we don't think you're ready at that salary yet. We'll review it in 6 months. That person is going to be so pissed off with you, so annoyed, that they're going to leave. And trust me, they would. I would bloody well leave if you did that to me. So as employees, whatever you're offering, offer it. Be transparent, but also know that that employee is going to read those terms and conditions. Now, another warning to the new employers, if someone comes back and says, actually, can I query this, 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 and this in my terms, conditions, and contract? If HR then comes to the hiring manager, to you as a hiring manager, and say, well, actually, you know, Pete, he's starting to question these terms, conditions, and contracts. And you go, oh, I think he's going to be a problem then. I don't think I'm going to want him in my team. Let's retract the offer. No, don't. And I'm going to tell you why. Because if you do that, you're a frigging idiot. Every new employee or potential employee has the right to question their contract and ask questions around it. And if you're going to get really defensive and pissed off because they're questioning what you're offering them, then you're the idiot. So I have to say, I'm sorry, I'm going to be honest, you're the idiot. As a hiring manager, you're the idiot if you don't think someone's going to question what you're offering them isn't what you've offered them, right? So if that person is checking, that to me shows that that person is paying attention, they want the job, they're really keen, they're making sure everything's there. And, you know, they're going to be a valid member of the team because they're always going to be checking things. They're always going to be asking questions because when it comes to training, oh my God, I've done training before and people just sit there and don't ask any questions. And you say, are you okay? Do you understand? Uh-huh. Are you sure? Mm-hmm. Do you want to ask me anything? No. I think I understand. Okay, well, I'll leave it to you. And then 10 minutes later, you know that thing you showed me? Can you show me again? I asked you, did you have any questions? Did you understand? And you said, yeah. Yeah, well, can you show me again? Because I didn't understand it. Yeah. Were you paying attention? Not really. So, yeah. So, if they're going to ask questions and challenge the offer, let them. It's a good sign. It doesn't mean that that employee is going to be a difficult employee in the long run. It just means that you're getting someone good. Yeah? But if there's obviously other red flags that come up with them, then fine. But if they're questioning and asking questions about it and they want to clarify and understand something, they've got every right to do so. It's their right. Do not employ them because they're questioning their terms, conditions and contracts and you think they're going to be a problem. They're not. Okay, now what that individual was doing, and as you know, I'm a StrengthScope practitioner, so I've been looking at this, but what you'll find is that individual is using their significant strengths, and they're pulling upon their 24 strengths. So when they're going through their contracts and everything, and the terms and conditions, they're being strategically mindfulness, they're looking at their detail orientations, they're pulling on that strength, they're pulling on their critical thinking strength, and they're also pulling on their common sense strengths. Okay, so there are the four strengths that they may be pulling upon to when they're looking at the information you've given them and the job offer. But also they're using their emotional strengths. So they are probably looking at their emotional control because they're excited, they're like really angry because you've not put in what you should have done, or a little bit confused. You know, they're using their courage strength, and the courage strength basically means they're standing up for what they believe in and what's right, and they're saying, well, actually, hang on a minute. You said this, now you're saying this. This ain't right. So they're pulling upon their current strength. Also, it's about their self-confidence because they're challenging and asking. But also, they've got some resilience in pushing back and pushing, not pushing back all the time, but keep challenging and keeping on it. So if they've emailed you and you've not responded within, say, 48 hours, of course they're going to come back to you and say, listen, I'm really keen to take this. I really want to put my notice in, but I won't put my notice in until this is confirmed. Could you please tell me? And they're going to be resilient. And that's the point, yeah? It's not that they're being difficult. It's that they're keen. They want to get it sorted. They want the job. But they want to make sure that what you've promised them, they're going to get for them to come over. Because if you can't, and you've started to rescind and amend and, you know, adjust the original offer, of course they're going to say no. Yeah? Think about it. Wake up and smell the coffee, people. I've seen companies do it where they offer an amazing package, and then when the person gets it, they're like, actually, this is not what you offered. And sometimes I've sat there and gone, but we didn't offer that. Oh yeah, well, I've changed my mind, this is what I'm going to offer them instead. Okay, they're not going to come and work for us. Yeah, they will. They're keen, they'll do it. Then we find out, nope. Or they've signed the contract to say they're coming, and guess what, folks? Day one comes. They should be there at 9. They ain't coming. They ain't picking up their phone. They ain't responding to their emails. Yeah, no shit. So, yes, whatever you offer, offer it. Don't rescind it. Don't change it. And if you are thinking of changing the conditions that you have offered, you should have that conversation with them and say, listen, I know we looked at this, but actually it slightly changes. This is what we're now going to be looking at offering just due to business needs or demands. Are you still interested? If they say, well, actually, no, I won't be. Go, okay, well, I'm really sorry, but you know, if it does change or it goes back to what originally was, we'll let you know. So put that out there. Be honest, open, transparent, honest. That's what we're asking for you to do. Now, Hopefully, the employer has put everything they should be doing. They've offered you everything. The potential new employee has been sent all the contracts, or you've been sent all the contracts, terms, conditions. You've read them, you're happy with them, and you sign them. Now comes the part to resign. So you've signed everything, you've sent off your onboarding, so your ID and everything has gone to the new employer. They're now dealing with that. You're now waiting for your start date soon. Well, you already got your start date. So now is the time to start counting down to when you leave. But what you need to do is resign, right? Now, this is the fun part. When you've looked at all your terms and conditions and you're happy with everything and everything is there, what you should have expected, and you're happy with everything, you don't have any questions or queries for your new employer, and you send everything back, then resign. At that point, you resign. You do not resign the moment that the new employer calls you and goes, guess what, you got the job, great, I'm going to resign today, and you resign. No. As I say, wait till you get everything. Wait till you get your offer. Wait till you've received your contract, your terms and conditions, make sure you're happy, then resign. Okay? So once you've done that, you've signed everything, you're happy with everything, you then resign. Now, what I will say to you, first of all, and this is the golden rule, and I should have said this at the beginning, but this is the golden rule. When you look for a job, okay, and this is before you sign any contracts, and before you go for any interview, and this is the key fundamental thing I forgot to mention right at the beginning, is always clarify your notice period. Because your notice period is the biggest thing here. When you go to resign, you have to follow the guidance of your notice period. So some employers will give you only a month's notice. Yeah, or say in your terms and conditions, your notice period is a month. Yeah? So you have 4 weeks' notice. Perfect. But be careful, because it depends upon what you sign. Now, most people sign their contracts and don't even read them. That's why I keep saying to people, read your contracts, read your terms and conditions of employment before you sign anything, so you know what you're getting into. It's an agreement, okay? Because it can bite you in the arse. So, for example, when I used to work in teaching education, I would sign a teaching contract that would say that my notice period, regardless, was 3 months, because that would give them enough time for me to do a handover and for them to find a replacement. So it's 3 months' notice. So if I was looking for another job and I found another job, I have to tell them, and they say, oh, so what's your notice period? I'll be going, oh, it's 3 months, so I can't start for 3 months. And they're like, oh, okay, great, no worries, then we know. Yeah? Sometimes it's a month. Luckily, my contract, for example, is a month. But I'm not lucky enough, because there's another caveat you have to be aware of, and it's in your terms and conditions. With some people that work with organisations, they tend to leave an organisation with under 4 years service, and they leave within the 4 year service to explore other opportunities, new challenges, pick up a new career, because really, once you hit 5 years service and more, in some contracts you have to provide an additional 1 week's notice on top of your standard 1 month notice. So what that means is that, for example, I've worked for my company for 7 years, now going to 8. So instead of me having a 4 weeks notice, I've got a 6 weeks notice. Now I'm coming into my 8th year. Once I hit the 8 year mark, I then have to give a 8 week notice. So so I've done 4, 5, 6, 7. So yeah, 4 weeks is a 5. And then year 6, year 7, year 8. So 5, 6, 7, 8. Yes, so I have to give 8 weeks notice. So instead of 7 weeks notice, 6 to 7 weeks notice, I may have to give a 7 to 8 weeks notice. Let's round it up like that. So then it becomes not a month, but it becomes a 2 months notice. And obviously there is a limit to how many weeks additional you can add. So be very mindful, just check your terms and conditions. Because if you said to your employer, oh, actually I only have to give a month, and I've worked for the employer for 6 years, oh, actually I'm going to have to give them, you know, at least 5 weeks notice, not the standard 4 weeks. So I might have to go back to the new employer and say, actually I got it wrong, I actually need to give them 5 weeks, not four. So when you go for interviews and stuff like that, just be mindful of what your notice period is. Yeah, just double check. Please double check, because sometimes the job offer depends upon your notice period sometimes, so just be careful of that. But employers who are recruiting somebody, if it is the notice period is a little bit longer and you really want that person, you can you can cope. You're going to cope 4 weeks without them. You can cope an extra 1 or 2 weeks. It's okay. Don't worry, because they're going to be that hidden gem and that hidden talent you needed. So just as a person that is looking for work, just be very mindful of your notice period, because it will affect your resignation. Because you could resign and say, I'm only giving 4 weeks notice, and they come back to you in HR and go, well, actually, you've been here 7 years, so you actually need to give us, you know, 6 weeks notice. And you're kind of like, 6 weeks? No. I'm not giving you 6 weeks, it's 4 weeks. Read your terms and conditions. So just be mindful, okay? So, now you've, as I say, we've got everything, you're ready to resign, you know what your notice, actual notice period is, so now is the time to resign. Now, there's different ways to resign. I said this before, don't do it the social media way. Bad way to do it via social media. So, in the old days, when we all used to go to the office, before hybrid working, and before the lovely COVID, we all used to be able to go into the office and then resign. I'm not saying let's go in the office and resign, but you used to be able to go into the office, you'd write your resignation letter, print it off, you'd have a conversation with your manager, and you go, hi, Bob, hope you're well, look, I need to have a chat with you. And you sit Bob down and go, look, Bob, I'm really, really sorry, I don't want to do this, but I'm resigning, here's my resignation. And then you'd hand them the letter. Yeah. Or what some people would cheekily do then was print the letter off and stick the letter on their boss's desk and hope for the best. And then have the boss come to you and go, I got your letter. We need to have a chat. Okay, let's go for a chat. So I would say, please don't avoid the put a letter on a desk scenario. Please don't, in today's world, just send an email with a heading resignation and say please see attached. So unprofessional. Quick and easy, very productive, but very unprofessional. What you should always do when you're resigning from an organisation is, number one, never resign on a Friday. If you resign on a Friday, it's going to piss people off because there's nothing they can do. They're going to be wound up all weekend, and come Monday morning, they're going to be even more pissed because they've got to talk to you and go, you resigned, what the hell? Never resign at the end of a day. Always resign at the start of a day. Never at the end. Yeah, because it pisses people off even more, and I know that. So, if you resign, ideally try and resign the first couple of days of the month. The first couple of days of the month, first couple of days of the week, either Monday or Tuesday. Resign in the morning, get it out there, get that done. Have a meeting with your boss and say, I really need to talk to you, it's quite urgent, can we go somewhere private? Go somewhere in a meeting room, somewhere private, and say, look, I'm really, really sorry, but it's been a hard decision to make, but actually, I'm going to be leaving the company. Here's my notice. I will send a copy of this via email to you, and I'll send a copy of it to HR as well, so they're aware. But I've just, you know, unfortunately made that decision to resign. That may spark up other conversations with your boss face-to-face in terms of the reasons why you're going, you know, them trying to talk you out of it, them saying, bear with me, let me see what I can do, what's wrong, why are you leaving, you know, was it where you were going, but, you know, if we could keep you, what could we do to keep you, things like that. And those conversations then start, and then who knows, it something may come out of it, something may not. If not, then you're going to work your notice and you're going to go. So that's the best way to do it. So if you're office based still, do it the right way. Resign early in the week. Never resign at the end of the day, because it just pisses people off. Arrange a meeting with your direct manager and take a copy of your notice with you and hand it in and say, look, I'm leaving. I'll send a copy of this to HR. Done. Now, if you're remote and you are a bit of hybrid working and you spend 1 day in the office and 4 days at home or 2 days in the office or whatever, again, don't do the simple, hi, please find attached my resignation. Thanks. Don't do that via email. So unprofessional. What you should do is arrange to book some time in your manager's diary and say, listen, I really need to have a chat with you. It's going to be a quick 10-15 minute Teams call. I really urgently need to speak to you. And they go, okay. If not Teams, let's book a phone call. Call me at 9 o'clock. Let's have the conversation. Speak to them and say, look, I really hate to do this, but it's taken a lot of time and consideration, but unfortunately I'm going to be leaving the organisation. I am in the process now of emailing you my resignation, and I will CC in HR, but that's a decision I've made. Again, conversations will come from that, yeah, and that's the correct way to do it. Don't do those emails, and don't just stick letters on people's desks, because you're trying to avoid that ultimate conversation about why you're resigning. But guess what? You're going to have that conversation anyway. So I don't see why you think you can avoid that conversation and they're just going to accept it and go, oh, okay, well, fine. Pete's leaving. There we are, done. Yeah, got your notice. Thanks, mate. So you finish on that date. All right, no worries. Yeah, whatever. We're going to start looking for your position now. No. Best thing to do is just do it the right way. Have that conversation with your manager. Give your letter in. And then copy in HR and say, following and from the, either that face-to-face or that phone call or that Teams meeting, just email your manager, calling HR, saying, look, you know, as you know, following our conversations today, please don't attach my resignation. As stated, I will be leaving the organisation. All the relevant information and my leave date is in the letter attached. Again, if you have any questions, please let me know. But again, thank you for allow me to work for your organization. I'll start putting a handover together, and I'm sure we will catch up during the week. And if you have any questions, do reach out and let me know. Now, say handover, and I'll tell you what I mean by that in a minute. But do it in a professional way. Don't burn your bridges. When you write your resignation letter, there are some key things you need to put in your resignation letter. So make sure that your resignation letter is well structured. Be polite at all times. Thank the organisation for working for them and the training and commitment and stuff they put in you. If there are things that are negative for the reasons why you're leaving, put it in a constructive way, not in a bitchy ass way, and don't be an ass about it. So you might, my advice is if you're going to write that, write out the letter in what you think. Drop it into ChatGPT and ask it to make it more professional for you, and then use that one. Yeah, best way. Then you're not going to burn your bridges and you're not going to piss people off. What I'll also say in there as well, in that letter, just state your last working day as per your contracted probational period or your contract period notice. So as I say, if you work 5 years, over 5 years, and you have to give an extra week's notice per year served after 5 years. So if you're supposed to be doing 4 weeks notice, you've been there five, you need to give one more week. So you give 6 weeks or 7 weeks or 8 weeks, whatever it may be. You pop it in there and you say, my last date will be this day. Also during this time, I've accrued X amount of holidays that I've not taken. This will need to be owed to me. Also, any outstanding expenses that I will have to claim during my notice period will also need to be owed. Plus my P45 to follow after my final payment has been made. So just be professional, you know, and make sure that you've clarified everything and you put everything in there. And also put in there, you know, I'll make sure that I am professional to the end and that I will support with any new team member coming in that I may have to train. But also I'll make sure there is a comprehensive and clear handover given before I leave. So when I say a handover, what I mean is as soon as you know you've resigned, start putting a handover together. That's the best thing for you to do and the most professional thing to do. So I remember during the pandemic, the position of director of recruitment was no longer needed as a bit of a restructure. So we didn't need that position anymore. So I can still pick up my role as director of L&D, which is perfect, but I dropped the recruitment side. So what I did, because I was director of recruitment, there was a ton loads of stuff that needed to be known. So what I done was I created a one notebook, and in there I created a folder, I created a new notebook called Recruitment Handover, and I put different subject headings or different page headings. So it might be team, job boards, DWP, staffing agencies, staff houses, because we have staff houses, job shows, etc., and all the way through. Then each of those sections, I would have information about the employees, including what to do on onboarding, all the relevant documentations, all those kind of things, all the contacts for certain DWPs, any key dates or anything, any passwords, usernames, logins, what current budgets were set, what current expenditure was done, where to find certain things, any projects that were being worked on, anything in the pipeline. All that kind of thing was there, ready for a handover. So when I handed over, I sent the handover to the relevant people necessarily, and they got that handover. And that was everything they needed to know about that department for it to pick up from where it was and just run it. And if anybody else came in to look after the department, everything was there for them to go. So do be professional, create a handover. Yeah, make sure everything is there for people. Yeah, maybe you say to your boss, you know, who will be taking over my duties until you find somebody, and they'll say, oh, I need to pick that out, I'll tell you who, and go, okay, fine. But still create that handover, because it covers your ass when you leave, and it shows you're professional, because you don't want to go and go, oh, they didn't do a handover, we had nothing from them, and we found this out, we couldn't find this, and we couldn't find that, and then it's a nightmare. So just be professional all the way to the end. Do that professional handover done, because on your last day, you can say to your boss, okay, here's my handover, everything is done for you, everything is there. Perfect. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. But just make sure that when you do resign, you do it professionally. You don't do it the wrong way, you do it the right way. Because as I say, it's a very small world out there. Remember the song, It's a Small World After All? I can't even sing it. You remember the song, It's a Small World After All? Well, it is, because I've seen people pop up in my industry, in teaching and education, and especially as L&D practitioners and in apprenticeships and other things, that just re-pop up. I haven't seen for years. And I know they really left on bad terms in some organisations, and they pop up and you remember how they left. Trust me, you remember. And you think, oh my God, really? And people talk and it gets around pretty quick. So I would say just be very professional when you resign. Know when to quit. And I know that there are times where, you know, things get really bad and there's too many pressures and demands and burnout and everything else, that we all go, I've had enough, I quit, I'm done, I'm not coming back. One of the biggest things I would say is never leave an organisation until you've got a job to go to. Because who's putting food on the table? Who's putting, you know, money in the bank? Who's going to cover your rent? Because universal credit claims can take up to 13 weeks still to process. So who's going to pay your phone bill, your Netflix, your Disney Plus? Who's going to pay your council tax, your bills? They're going to be racking up. You may be able to get away for a month or two to put things on hold with certain people, but after that, they're going to go, well, you need to pay us. You need to, you know, pay back, and your debts are going to rise, everything else. So just make sure that if you are living with a partner and you're very supportive and you've got enough money to for them to support and cover you for at least a month or two while you look for another job, because you've had enough and you just quit with immediate effect and you're not going back. I get it. I do get it. But make sure you're financially stable before you do that. Never quit a job until you have another job to go to. That's why I say just make sure before you resign, get all your terms, conditions, all your offer letters, make sure you've read them, make sure you understand them, make sure that everything that you've agreed with that new employer is there, then sign it and send it back. Okay? Now, just make sure you're all going to be set and fine, okay? So do the right thing. But some other tips I want to give you is just make sure that, you know, if you do resign from an organisation and then you accept an offer and then that new offer gets rescinded or retracted, and then you're like, oh, okay, they're not going to, they've decided not to employ anybody anymore, they've ceased all recruitment, so they're not going to bring you on board. That kind of leaves you in limbo, because you're thinking, oh my God, I'll go back to the employer and say, okay, listen, the job I was going to, they've actually retracted it. I don't have a job anymore. I'd like to retract my notice. It's not a given right or a given thing that your old employer will rescind your resignation. They may say to you, look, I'm really sorry, but you know, we've now decided we don't want that position anymore, or actually, you know, we already found somebody, so unfortunately not. Or yeah, we worked off you saying, but it's been a different position or a different salary. So just be aware of that it's not a given right to be able to retract your notice. It's down to the employer, but it's a negotiable thing. It should be negotiable, and if you're an employer listening, it's a negotiable thing. Don't forget that. Using holiday as part of your notice period. So if you've got 2 weeks holiday accrued that you've not taken yet in your holiday year and you want to take it as part of your notice, it's not a given that you can use your holiday as part of your notice period. Some employers may not want to pay holiday as part of your final payment, so they might say to you, well, actually, yeah, you know, look, work 2 weeks your notice and the other 2 weeks take us holiday, happy days, because obviously your final payment will be your final salary plus any of your accrued holidays and any expenses and stuff that they owe you. So they may not want to pay your holidays, so they may ask you to take your holidays as part of your notice period. So again, that's negotiable, but it's not a given right. So also just make sure that if you are going to another employer and it's very identical and very similar and the jobs are very similar, or there might be a competitor to your organisation, you may be placed on garden leave. Now, garden leave isn't something to say you've done something wrong and they don't want you in the building. It just means they may ask you to leave a bit sooner because you potentially might be a risk to them and the business, because you might, not say you will, but you might be able to provide or take information and documentation with you to that new employer or their competitor. So they may ask you to go on garden leave early, which means great because you can stay at home. You're still going to get paid, but you just won't be allowed in the office. So it's fine. Yeah. And as I said before, don't burn your bridges, people, because it will bite you in the arse. Trust me, because you never know when you might need to go back to that employer. So always be on your best behaviour. So it's a small world after all, guys. Now, I know that's a lot of information to take on, but I think the key point for this, guys, is look, be very careful when you're thinking about quitting your job. Consider every option. Yeah, have those conversations with your current employers before you start thinking of looking. And if you've had those conversations, you've explored options with them, and there's nothing going to come out of it, then just let them know, look, I will be honest, I will be looking for work. If something comes up, great. If not, there we are, but I'm just going to see what's out there. If you do open yourself up on LinkedIn and your employer sees it and they go, what are you doing? You know, you say, well, it's my right to look. I'm just having a look to see what's out there and what my worth is. That's all. Don't worry, I'm not going anywhere yet. You know, and an employer can't say, well, I'm going to say that as your notice. I'm going to say that as your resignation. You go, well, you can't, because it's my option to look. So they under employment law, they can't accept a LinkedIn post of I'm looking for new opportunities as a formal resignation. You have to formally resign. And if you've done that and an employer becomes a bit difficult, then seek advice and guidance from ACAS. And I'll be honest, because I told you guys, as an employer, we should be professional all the way. So look, don't be afraid to look for work. Have a look for it. But as I say, when you quit your job, quit it in the right way, not the wrong way. Make sure that you cover your ass every step of the way. Make sure you do not quit your job until you have another job to go to. Do not quit your job until you've read all the terms and conditions of your new job, and make sure that you're fully happy with it before you sign it. And read everything. It doesn't take much time to read something, but read it. Make sure you understand it. Make sure you're happy with it. If you have any questions with your new employer, question it, challenge it, okay? New employers, if someone is challenging and questioning the terms and conditions of contracts, do not think that they're going to be a problem child. They're not. They are a valid new employee that is going to be an asset to your organisation, and them questioning and querying their terms and conditions is in their right as an individual and is covered under employment law for them to check their rights, because you don't want to get on the wrong side of that, do we now? So, listen, guys, I'm conscious that this podcast is nearly an hour long, but I hope this has provided some people with some advice and guidance about the right way to quit their job. And just don't quit for the sake of it, but quit the right way. And I know quitting a job isn't great for all employers because they're losing people, but if we take the time to stop and listen and find out why our employees might be resigning or might be open to other opportunities, we might be able to retain them within the organisation. But if there is nothing we can do to retain them, we just need to be aware that we might lose a really good employee. So do everything you can to keep them. But if you can't, then you can't. You just have to be on the back foot and be aware that you may need to fill that position at some point. So make sure you're prepped and ready to go. You've got your job descriptions and everything, and that you can look internally or potentially start earmarking people internally to replace that individual, or that you are ready to start advertising as and when you need to. But hopefully it won't get that far. So guys, thank you very much for listening to this episode. If you found it useful, or you think anyone might find it useful, please do share it. And again, thanks for listening. Enjoy your week. It should be a sunny week, I'm hoping, although it is a bank holiday Monday and it is raining, typical. So enjoy your week, whatever you get up to. Again, thank you. Excuse me. Thank you for listening. I managed to not cough so much. And remember, you can always listen back to this episode or wherever you get these episodes from, either whether it be Apple, Spotify, Amazon, RSS.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. And guys, thank you for listening. Have a great week, and I shall catch you on the next episode of Say As It Is with Pete.